This is IPR News Radio. I'm David Castleman. When people think of the Kennedy family, they're most likely thinking of the famous Kennedy men. John F. Kennedy was the first Catholic president in the nation's history. He was assassinated in his first term. His brother Bobby was attorney general and a U.S. senator until he was assassinated while running for president. And Ted Kennedy was a U.S. senator for decades. But in her new book, Eileen McNamara argues that the most influential sibling wasn't JFK or RFK. It was Eunice Kennedy Shriver. McNamara will be in Traverse City next week to talk about her book, Eunice, the Kennedy Who Changed the World. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who spent 30 years at the Boston Globe. IPR's Morgan Springer spoke to McNamara by phone.
The argument that Eunice was the most influential Kennedy it's a pretty bold argument. How do you back that up?
Yeah, I'm sure there are people who will think it's a stretch. But the only reason they think it's a stretch is they don't know Eunice. How do I argue that she left the family's most lasting and profound legacy? Well, look at Special Olympics, and that's only the tip of the iceberg. A program that reaches 174 countries, millions of athletes, and not just any athletes, but athletes until Eunice Shriver came along were either housed in institutions or hidden at home. She changed the world because she changed our perception of people with intellectual disabilities.
Why do you think she kind of selected helping people with intellectual disabilities as her number one focus?
She didn't select it. It selected her. In 1941, when her sister was 23 years old, Rosemary was lobotomized. Because the surgery went so tragically wrong, Eunice's sister, who she had grown up teaching to sail, teaching to hike, teaching to play tennis, was lost to her. Her life's work was a way to reclaim her sister and to satisfy her rage at what had happened to her.
To write this book, you got access to records, I think, that had never been seen before. Is that correct?
Even her children hadn't read it. These are 33 boxes of her personal files and records that her children had never gone through.
How did you get access to that?
It took about 2.5 years to convince the Shriver siblings that I was serious, that I was not a journalist who was looking to capitalize on their family name or to uproot some scandal that had yet to be told about the Kennedy family. I was fascinated by Eunice because of her accomplishments and because they hadn't really been heralded until we looked at the body of records that she kept. I had no idea the scope of her public career.
And have you heard from her children what they think about the book?
A couple of them have read it. I'm not sure all of them have read it yet or will. The Kennedys often don't read books about their family. But Maria Shriver has read it and Bobby Shriver has read it and assured me that they're pleased because it isn't a hagiography. Their mother was a difficult person, socially, maternally. She wasn't an easy person to work for. She expected everyone to have the same urgency about her causes that she did. And that's a lot to live up to, especially if you're one of her children. But they were happy to see that she was claiming her rightful place in history. It's quite easy to write women out of history. It happens all the time. And this book is an attempt to restore her with all her flaws, all her idiosyncrasies, but all her incredible accomplishments to American history.
Speaking of our places in history, you contributed to coverage on the Catholic sex abuse scandal in Boston, which the story is even better known now because of the movie Spotlight. And I'm wondering what your role was in that coverage.
Well, we were getting a new editor at the Boston Globe in the summer of 2001. Marty Baron was coming to the Boston Globe from Miami. And he was beginning on a Monday morning, and on Sunday, he happened to read a column that I wrote about a case of clergy sexual abuse against a priest named Father John Gagan in the Boston Archdiocese. And in this column, I posed the question whether anybody in the city, anybody with power, would challenge the right of the Archdiocese of Boston to keep the personnel records of priests accused of these kinds of crimes secret. And on Monday morning, on his first day of work, Monty Baron stopped at my desk and said, "Why don't we sue?" And I laughed because many of us had been urging the paper to sue for years. But this is what happens when somebody new with fresh eyes comes into an institution. And he did sue. And the rest is history.
Eileen, thank you so much for talking to me.
I enjoyed it very much, Maureen.